We're live.
Some of you may know me as BMess. Others just know me as Awesome. I'm the co-founder of WebDev Studios, co-founder of AppPressor, co-author of Building Web Apps with WordPress. You guys should buy the book, published by O'Reilly Media. At WebDev Studios, we've been working on super cool projects for a really long time, and we've been pushing the envelope of what WordPress can do for years, and we're going to continue to do so in the future. When aliens come to Earth and need custom WordPress integration with their spaceships, who do you think are going to get those contracts? WebDev Studios. Coming live from my car outside of a library with public Wi-Fi in a city of 20 people somewhere in Vermont, I'm Brian Messelainer, and the Dradcast starts now!
From the bowels of WordPress Nation, it's
you know what time it is.
All operators are busy at this time. Please hold.
Drad.
For the Dradcast. Here to talk WordPress news, events, and fizzy pop with community leaders.
Ultimately letting smarter people run the show weekly.
We bring you your favorite Santan alumnus, Brad Williams and Dre Armada. Sit back, folks, grab something to sip on, and get ready to press on. The Dradcast starts now.
That's right, it's the Dradcast. It's the live Dradcast. Dude, look at this.
Look. All right, in the same place, the same town, at the same time during episode 48. This is going to be crazy. What's exciting to me is it's your birthday week. So we had opportunity to hang out for your birthday, and then I had the distinct pleasure and the honor to hang out with Brad, the fan of the game, yesterday at the Philly San Diego Padres game.
Wow, that was wild, was it not?
I got to post pictures.
Something weird happens when Dre and I get together, and it happens a lot. And just weird, random, really cool things start to happen around us. So we're at the Phillies game, and we're just literally got to the park having a beer, hanging out, and somebody comes up and says, "Hey, want to come on the field? Do you look like a fan?" Sure, why not? Next thing I know, I'm opening ceremonies down there, waving to the crowd, fan of the game. It was a pretty amazing time. We had a good time.
And it was a great game. The Phillies took a win home, so good for you and good for the Phillies.
We are live. This is the first time we've done the show in person like this, together.
Well, a regular show, right?
A regular show.
We did a special show at Orange County last year at a WordCamp, but we haven't broadcast together, and hopefully this will be the first of many.
I am excited. So with that, let's go ahead and bring on our guest. So let me introduce you to a man that needs a lot of introduction. Some of you know him as Manimal, a.k.a. The Wild. The Wild Card, a.k.a. Wolfman, a.k.a.
Killfoot,
my business partner, Mr. Brian Messenlater. Brian, welcome to the show, finally.
Hey, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. And I'm sorry that I couldn't be there with you today. I would be. I had a prior obligation to drive my grandparents up to Vermont. My grandparents in their late 80s, and we had an intervention with my grandmother recently where we kind of took away her license, so she still thinks she could drive in North Jersey, you know, on the Garden State Parkway with 7 lanes of traffic, people going 100 miles per hour. So I'd rather drive her up here and keep her alive. So,
no doubt.
Yeah, no, we definitely like having hosts in different locations, different scenarios, and I don't think this is the first one we've had in a car. So you're not driving, which is good. So this is going to go down the history book. So
I think it would be a lot cooler if you were driving, but maybe next time. Let's not pull that off.
Get to sign a waiver before we do that.
Yeah, there's definitely waivers involved for that.
But let's. I want to know what you're sipping on, Mr. Dre.
Hey, what you sipping on?
This is one of my favorite drinks. We've had the opportunity to share a couple of times. It's so long they don't even put it on the label. It's so damn good. This is Johnny Walker Blue, rocking it straight, rocking it neat, and holy cow, this is fabulous. Salute.
Good. What you got over there, Brian? I hope it's not Johnny Walker Blue.
I'm sipping on some Scissor. No, actually, I'm over here drinking a Flaming Moe.
A Flaming Moe, huh?
Oh, boy.
That's... okay, we'll move on from that.
I'm drinking some Nesquik. I thought about grabbing a beer, but didn't think it would be a good idea to just sit here in a parking lot at the library drinking a beer on my laptop. Probably a good way to get yanked out of the car by a cop.
That's probably the part. We certainly don't want that on our conscience either, so thank you for not doing that. We can practice drinking responsibly on the Dradcast.
Yes. If you have a problem, there's numbers and hotlines you can use to get help.
There is. Why don't we get into it? So this is going to be a fun interview. I know a lot of this, but I feel like I'm probably going to learn a few tidbits here and there, but I think a lot of our audience probably doesn't know a lot about you and your past. So I think it's going to be kind of fun to dive into it. So maybe we generally like to start when we have guests on. You know, we like to learn how you got into the web and how you kind of learned where you first became passionate about the web, and then we'll kind of progress up through where you're at today.
Sure. So I guess it started when I was 18 years old and I was living on my friend's couch, and I figured, what am I doing with my life? I really didn't excel well in school. Was kind of too busy trying to have fun, chase girls around, and I didn't have money to go to college, so that wasn't an opportunity. So I figured, what should I do? Join the Marine Corps! Hoorah! So I did that on my 18th birthday. I was in down in Philadelphia at the MEPS down there getting my physical, and then I was sent off to boot camp shortly after that. When I first signed up to be in the Marines, I signed up to be a machine gunner, and I did really good in the ASVAB test. So the ASVAB test, if any military guys remember, was a lot of questions. Some of the first questions were word problems, like, you know, there's a train heading west from New York till L.A. At 273 miles per hour, and there's a train heading east from L.A. to New York. I'm like, man, skip a couple pages. What comes next? Pattern making. Red, blue, red, blue, red. Are you kidding me? So I got, like, by the time I told everybody to stop taking the tests and put their pencils down, I had more answers correct and more answers completed than anybody else. And I guess that told the government that I would be good at computers. And up until that time, my only real experience with computers was kind of playing that game Doom and surfing around the internet. Nothing really substantial. So I thought it would be a good opportunity to try to learn a valuable trade. And so I went to the Marines as a computer programmer. My drill instructors kind of give me a world of shit, as they call it. When I was at boot camp and they found out that I was going to be a computer programmer, I was a 300 PFT-er and running out for the company Iron Man. So they wanted me to try out for like Force Recon, and they were kind of upset with me by going to the Marines and learning about computers. But anyway, after boot camp, I got sent to my MOS school out in Twin Palms, California, and that is when I first met my business partner, Brad. Since the first time I laid my eyes on him, I knew that one day he would be my partner.
I'm going to leave that one alone. The military was a good experience. How did the programming piece work? When you came into the military, how did that whole piece kind of come into play? Because you go through boot camp, you go through all the general stuff that everybody has to go through, and then you go through schooling, I'm assuming. How did that all kind of progress?
So we were in, like, you know, definitely, like, kill mode, right? Like, everything is kill everything. And then we got to our MOS school, and they're like, okay, computers, you guys are going to learn how to kill people by programming missiles. And the first programming language that I actually learned was Ada. It's an old, dinosaur of a language. Like, you had it, like, to, even just to set up your development environment took, like 3 or 4 days before you could even, like, write any, you know, command lines to do anything. So really behind and other guys that were there, like, joined the Marines specifically to become computer programmers like Brad did. Like, you know, I felt at a disadvantage to these other kids in my class, and I thought, like, man, if I don't study up and, you know, really learn all this stuff, I'm gonna fail this class, and they're gonna stick me wherever they want, and I probably would have ended up being a machine gunner then at that point, so I guess it wouldn't have been that bad. But I hit the books. Everybody else was hitting everybody else was hitting San Diego and Tijuana, I was hitting the books hard and studying up.
Not me. I mean,
and,
of course, not you.
Yeah. and then, so we eventually moved off of Ada and started getting into some web scripting languages and databases. I was really interested in databases at that point, and I kind of excelled in that. I did really good. You know, in the class, I graduated. A lot of people that I thought would make it didn't make it, and I figured I partied a lot, and did some things in my past that I could make up for. So I really kind of hit the ground running. When we got our duty stations, I was actually so there was three of us that went to Camp Lejeune, North Carolina. There was me, Brad, and this female Marine, Huss. So we went out to Camp Lejeune together. Obviously they don't bunk male and female Marines together, so me and Brad were roommates, and we lived in probably a room the size of the room that you guys are in right now.
All right.
I know that.
That room might be a little bit big for a few years. So we got to know each other pretty well. We were stationed at a logistics command for the Marine Corps, 2nd FSSG out on Camp Lejeune. And we were a deployable unit. And at that time, we were building a lot of stuff and learning how to build things with SQL Server databases, .NET framework. It was back right around when the .NET framework first came out. A layer called Fusion, I think 4.0. That was like really the first scripting language that I learned. CF query, CF loop, all that easy stuff. And within our unit, Brad and I, we just kind of excelled above everybody else. And we were real dedicated. We didn't get stuck answering phones or doing whatever. We got stuck on the deployments to go live in the woods for 6 months and maintain servers and stuff, which is, probably a lot cooler and better than being the guy that answers the phone and gets to go home at 5 o'clock to go do whatever he wants out in town. But
you're talking server level stuff. You're talking Microsoft.
Yeah, we would be talking database stuff. I can remember the first time that I actually like really understood a scripting language was Fort Bragg, I think, for like four months, and we were like living in the woods playing war, and I was in control of the SUL server, and SUL stand for Small Unit Logistics. So I was that guy, and that was my job, was to deploy this and make everybody use it. In the SysSoc, and if you were ever in the military, trying to make people do what they don't want to do or not accustomed to do is pretty difficult. So at some point, I gave up on that part, and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to learn how this system works. And I just sat there day after day and went through every line of code in that system and went and looked in the database, saw where it was being stored, saw how it was being updated. And that 4 or 5 months that I was at Fort Bragg is really when I really kind of, it caught on, and I was able to understand scripting, right, programming, and how to basically I can make it do whatever I want. And I thought it was awesome at the time. Never in my life have I really gotten so good at something in such a little time, and it really kind of came natural to me. And having Brad there was a big help too, because, he's always kind of, I've always kind of been like about a year behind him, but with kind of everything that we do, right? I'm catching up now. I'm in the book club. This book also, if you didn't notice, the foreword is by Brad Williams, and that's this Brad Williams. That is the comedian midget Brad Williams from the internet. So this is Brad Williams, the WordPress guru, Brad Williams.
That's the biggest me and Brad had thing on that book.
Brad and I had we worked together in the Marines on several projects. We built like an armory system to track all the weapons and equipment, custom relational databases from the ground up. We were doing even some, huge Oracle databases and custom migrations, whatever you could think of, we were probably doing that stuff in the Marines. We pride ourselves because we got deployed when the Iraq war happened. We were actually out there several months before the war started, setting up all the networks and building the websites and setting up the logistics web applications to track all the equipment, Marines, ammo, food, you name it. And we were actually out there. We weren't at one of the bases that people were talking about on the news channels, like you hear about, oh, Fort whatever, this base, here's all the news crews. We were kind of, at a hidden one. We probably had the only weapons of mass destruction there with us because we brought them there. So, we weren't giving up our location. And we were actually, when the war first kicked off, they would, have these Iraqi guys coming across the berms into our fortress area, and they didn't have any weapons on them or anything, but they had GPSs, and they were trying to send up the coordinates of our base. And by the time the MPs get out there and hog tie them up and rough them up a little bit, it was already too late. The coordinates were already up into the sky to the satellites. So when the war first kicked off, they were shooting missiles at us, and I remember we're in full MOP gear, and MOP gear is like the full nuclear radiation deterrent suits that you have to wear with the gas mask and everything that you guys see in all the zombie movies and stuff. But we were actually in the desert in 130, 40 degree weather, wearing full MOP gear, and forced to down into these bunkers where you could, you know, kind of a little bit see the daylight, you know, above everybody's heads while you're getting, you know, squished into the back. So about 4 days, and during that time, our you know, basically our leaders, right, our officers told us, hey, you're not stopping working. We need that code done. So we're literally sitting there with gas masks on, you know, and these big gloves, programming, writing code with gas masks on. It was pretty unbelievable, but it was kind of cool, you know, and funny looking back on it. So yeah, that was kind of my experience in the military. Me and Brad definitely we clicked there. I would say, you know, he's probably the closest thing I have to a brother. We spent a lot of time together. And yeah, and I mean, and he's, and I think why we click and why we work so, you know, why web dev has been so successful over the years is just because we're constantly trying to one up each other, right? We're very competitive and we're very driven. And I knew that Brad was definitely a go-getter. The first time that I you know, saw this firsthand was we had a Lance Corporal board. You know, for being promoted to meritoriously being promoted to Lance Corporal in the Marine Corps, and we were both up against each other with a couple other Marines. But we were all studying up. Brad really wanted it really bad. He was studying up his knowledge. He was, you know, putting the extra PT in and stuff. And it came down to the final, you know, the final three or four of us that were going to get it. And Brad went in there and they asked him what the oldest weapon was in the Marine Corps. And he said the 50 caliber machine gun. So I said the NCO sword, which is, you know, of course the oldest one. So I actually
know about military. They had, you know, the military's been around since before machine guns were invented.
Way to go there, big guy.
Yeah, I think that lost it for me. Let's keep moving because we got a lot more to talk about and not a lot of time on the show. So you were in the Marines and we both got out, obviously.
So we got out. Brad and I, we always kept in touch. Even when we were in the Marines, we kind of started Web Dev Studios in 2001, you know, unofficially with no tax ID or anything like that. We knew nothing about running a business. But we do small business websites out in town outside the base, like car dealerships websites. Actually, Brad, we got a job with Mad Max in the Morning, right? That was his name. A morning show out of Myrtle Beach, and he was Brad, the web guy for them for a while. So we were always do this freelance work, and we got out of the Marine Corps. We kind of went our own separate ways. He went back to Indiana. I went back to New Jersey. We would hang out periodically, and you know, continue to do these freelance projects on the side. And one, you know, we always talk about one day. You know, one day we're going to do this full time, and this is going to be our full time gig. And we'd always joke around about it and stuff. But you know, back in 2006, we started talking about, you know, making it serious. And at the time, Brad, your company got bought, Batteries.com. You're the IT director, and you got bought by AudioVox.com, mm-hmm. right? Yep. And that's when you were like, they're going to give me a raise and a promotion, and you're like, let's do web dev instead.
Sounds too cushy.
And I was on board. It was a big risk, but we took it. I flew out. I remember flying out to Indiana, expecting his house to be all packed up and ready to, you know, load into the U-Haul truck. And I walk in the front door, and there's still, like, you know, books in the shelves and stuff. And
you never stop talking about it. It's amazing.
So we moved out to Jersey then, and we started up web dev from my kitchen table. We're kind of just getting into open source. Open source at the time was like, wow, you know, eye-opening, because we were in this mindset of building all these web applications from the ground up with custom schemas and custom login processes. And of course, we had all of our own code that we'd recycle all the time, but open source was just great, right? Why build a calendar feature? Why build an emailing feature or any type of user management system when, you know, open source, that stuff was built? At the time we started, we were actually doing a little bit more Drupal stuff than WordPress. Because I think that was pre-3.0 and 3 custom post types. But after 3.0, we really kind of focused on WordPress. We started seeing a lot of leads come in, you know, asking about WordPress, and it seemed to be really popular. The community seemed to be very popular. Brad was using it for his blog and seemed comfortable with it, and so we just started really doing a lot of WordPress stuff. I remember our first, like, like we made it our project, like we're doing it, was this project called the Sister Project, right, which we did for this woman, Margaret Roach, that ran Omni Media when Martha Stewart went to jail. And we were like, yeah, we're in the big times now. And that was a pretty cool project. And just, you know, since then, we've just kind of keep on going at it, taking on bigger jobs, doing more cool things with WordPress. And, I mean, that's pretty much our story. That's how we got here. Keep it going.
It's kind of been in recent history. I mean, you guys have done some pretty large scale WordPress projects. A lot of, you know, you really drive around project-based services, and you do it well. You're one of the better known and larger agencies doing that in the industry. I mean, bar none, top notch, great work. That goes without question. But you've branched out a different direction now, and if I'm not mistaken, you're spending quite a bit of time yourself working on this new thing called App Pressure. Can you talk a little bit to App Pressure, what it is, and how that's going?
Yeah, App Pressure is awesome. A couple years back, we had a job with the YMCAs in New York City, where they wanted to build an iPad-based kiosk that people could walk up and scan, you know, members of the Y could walk up and scan their ID card, the barcode, through the camera of the iPad, and it would automatically log them into their you know, challenges experience. And at the time, we built this other open source plugin called Badge OS, which is like a whole badging system for unlocking achievements and stuff. And this is what the Y wanted to use. So we were kind of at a crossroads where we were like, you know, we need to build this hybrid mobile app, like, and we've never done anything like that before. So we made it happen, we made it work, and it was awesome. And, you know, they were kind of blown away. And we got another job that led from that with the Dallas Museum of Art, which was kind of the same thing, this mobile app hybrid, right, with WordPress. So I guess around at that time, it started to click to us, like, hey, you know, it would be really cool if someone made a framework that, you know, would allow anybody that already is building custom functionality in WordPress to roll that over into an iOS or an Android app, so that these companies that have already spent ton of money, you know, time and money building their website exactly how they wanted, wouldn't have to spend another $100,000 to build an iOS app that does basically the same thing as their website does, or build or pay another $100,000 to build an Android app. So
it's really bridging the gap into the mobile space, which is obviously one of the highest used medium for anything online, if you will.
Right. Yeah. So we bridging the gap, we're actually using another platform called PhoneGap, which if any of you aren't familiar with PhoneGap, you know how WordPress is open source for building websites. PhoneGap is open source for building mobile applications. So the idea is you build it once, and it works across all the platforms. So we kind of just basically exactly what you're saying, Dre. We built a bridge between WordPress and PhoneGap, and now you know anything that you could do in WordPress now you could pretty much do in a native mobile app, which is really cool.
And along those lines, let's talk a bit about your book, because now you've reached the same level of authorship that your other co-owners at WDS are at. Man, all of you guys have written some books now around WordPress. Yours is specific to building web apps with WordPress. How did that come about? How was that experience for you? Because I know even helping write a chapter in a book was daunting and overwhelming. So I envy you. But how was that experience overall for you?
Man, it was tough. And I, you know, honestly, I didn't know what I was getting into. I thought it would be really cool, and I kind of, you know, felt left out of the cool book club. So I had the opportunity to write a book. So I jumped on it, and I was like, cool, I got to write a book. And then I was like, shit, now I got to write a book. So, yeah, I mean, I had the support of my family behind me, and, you know, every weekend we had to cancel all the plans. Like, no, I can't do anything. I got to work on the book this weekend.
You got deadlines. You got to hit them.
Yeah.
It's, I think, from the outside looking in, it might seem a little bit more straightforward, but it's really, if you ever sat down and written a lot of documentation, it's not the same, but it's similar. It's a tedious task, and it's not like you're just writing, you know, a fictitious story. Sure. It's facts. It has to be correct, right? So there's a lot of research that goes into every single page.
So time consuming. Right. Very time consuming. You've got the deadlines.
Spend more just researching, I think, than you do actually putting, you know, typing words on, because you need to make sure the code and the examples and everything is legit. And doing it in an open source world that moves so fast, you can imagine things are always changing.
What's exciting to me about what you guys have done there with the book, talking to building web apps and WordPress, but the educational piece to that. So, you know, unless you're selling a New York Times bestseller like fiction novel, like you're probably not going to like have you know, your pockets lined huge with book profits. So you're really doing it for the sake of educating, and that to me is pretty impressive. I think that's something that we all in the open source space embrace a little bit differently. Let's say that's closed source devs and designers and agencies and such. What's your play on that? I mean, how do you feel about education? I know that you've gotten involved in various educational things. What is your overall take there?
Kids are the future, right? So I'll give you an example. My daughter plays the bassoon amongst some other musical instruments, the trumpet, saxophone. She's now getting into the guitar. And I was just at a concert for her school band, and, you know, the auditorium was filled with all these parents. And, you know, and they're the kids are playing a song, they'll take a break, the conductor will come out and they'll say, hey, you know, this is so-and-so little Johnny that, you know, he's the best saxophone player in New Jersey for 3 years in a row. Why aren't they having kids out there in the auditorium with laptops building websites and mobile applications with their parents out there standing up, woo? Like, why isn't music on the same par as technology, right? Or science classes. Like, it seems like in a lot of schools, at least, you know, schools in New Jersey that I know about, and it seems to be the norm kind of all over the country. Yeah, there's a computer lab, but the teacher kind of signs in, you know, if the teacher knows about computers, signs in and you know, gets their class involved with that. But I mean, just education in general, like, it's technology is secondhand to these kids. Like, I have a 13-year-old daughter. She's on Instagram. She's never going to go on Facebook because I'm on Facebook, because my mom's on Facebook. My grandfather's even on Facebook. So, you know, these kids understand it. They get it. Like, if you give a kid WordPress, they're going to be able to pick it up and run with it. The problem is that I think that the teacher and the people that are supposed to be the educators of teaching these kids, you know, things that are going to help them, real thing, tangible things that are going to help them in life, like writing computer code, they don't know how to do, and there's not enough teachers to do that, so that's why it doesn't happen.
But I'm sure there's also a funding aspect to it, too. I remember when I was in high school, I would take every computer class I'd get my hands on, and I signed up, and granted, this has been a number of years ago, but I signed up for a computer graphics class to learn how to make, you know, learn how to do design. I was so excited, because I really want to learn Photoshop, I want to learn how to actually, like, draw and, like, really do cool graphics, and the funding fell through, but they didn't cancel the class, so I spent an entire semester learning paintbrush. So we did the entire class in paintbrush. It was ridiculous, and it was like the stupidest thing in the world. Like, we're literally drawing by pixels, and I get there's a graphical element to it, but it was like basically you're learning something that you're never going to do anything with professionally at all, not even close, you know. So
how many people's heads can you move onto other people's bodies?
Yeah, well, that's pretty much all it was.
That could be fun.
So we're actually working with a couple of schools now. We're doing a website for Montclair High School in New Jersey, and we're going to be working on a project with Newark Public Schools to build out a big multi-site network. I think they have about 70 or 80 schools in the city, all on, you know, WordPress multi-site, using BuddyPress to, you know, have groups for the teachers, where the teachers can get organized with their students. We want to integrate AppPressor. We have a new AppBuddy extension for AppPressor, which allows you to quickly build, you know, Facebook-type mobile applications just by installing a bunch of plugins. I mean, how much, you know, time and money does that save? But for the schools to use that, you know, a lot of kids these days, you know, have laptops, but probably a lot more don't. But a lot of them seem to have these smartphones. So if we could integrate our AppBuddy extension with BuddyPress and these school websites where they're having these groups around classrooms, I mean, the teacher can get on there and send out a class update saying, hey, make sure you study for that quiz tomorrow, and all the students are getting push notifications about it on their Android and iPhones. I mean, that's pretty awesome, and that's the kind of stuff that really motivates me and gets me worked up.
AppPress is such a cool application in the education sector. I mean, it just makes so much sense, like you said. Classrooms are groups, you know, the teachers are the moderators of the groups, and the students are members of the group, and they can have their own discussions and documents, and I mean, it's just like the application for schools is just perfect with BuddyPress.
It's about as close as use case you'll ever.
And they're
get,
starting to realize that. Like a lot of a few years ago, nobody really knew BuddyPress at all. Like anytime we ever did a BuddyPress project, because we told them about it, showed them how it works. Now we have a lot of people coming to us specifically for BuddyPress and around the education sector. So it's neat to see that just in the last year or two, Brian, that it's really, really picked up the amount of awareness around BuddyPress and what it can do.
Yeah, because a school website is cool, but a school social network is so much cooler.
Much cooler, man.
Yeah, well, the kids definitely are a feature. We need to continue that route. I admire your take on education and that route, and they should always be our pressing topic. Let's go ahead and move on to this week's pressing topic.
Pressing topics of the week.
So I read through this a couple times, and I was a little bit confused on the way that the article was written, but there was a DMCA takedown notice issued against a fork of WP Migrate DB Pro. It's an interesting article. It was written on WP Tavern, yesterday. And what it comes down to is the actual repo was taken down, or the fork was taken down, notice put up, the repository was unavailable due to the DMCA takedown. But really what it came down to was a licensing issue. They added a README file that actually had copyrighted information from the original author's site in it, and that's what prompted the takedown. It wasn't necessarily the fork or the code being used and so on. Do you guys think that this could have been handled maybe a little bit differently? Maybe we're missing part of the story of what that interaction was between the original party and the folks that forked it. Could this have been handled a little bit different and not get to the point where GitHub has to issue the actual DMCA takedown notice?
Yeah, I mean, it's weird, right? So it's everything they did about forking this plugin up until kind of copying some of the, it sounds like, content within the README is perfectly legal, right? It's a GPL plugin. Even though it's a pro version, it's a paid version that you download, it is GPL, so you know, just taking the plugin, forking it, as long as you remove all copyrighted information, names, you know, things like that, you can do that. You can fork it. You can put it up on GitHub, and it would have been completely legit. It's not. It's like the dude. You know, you're not wrong. You're just an asshole. You know,
yeah,
it's
sure.
Like it's that type of move, right?
Yeah.
But it's odd that just a little bit of content in README was enough for the takedown. You know, like that's what.
So that's what stuck to me.
It's just a small little. Well, the thing that has nothing to do with anything is why they took it down. That strikes me as kind of strange.
I mean, to me, that would have been an easy fix. That almost seems like there was just some
just remove the README or, like, delete the text and fill it out. I don't know. I'm not a fan of people doing this anyway, so I don't support the person that did this.
Totally. But it just seemed odd how it went down. And Jeff over at WP Tavern wrote some good tips here on the actual article that we'll have in the show notes that will help you avoid trouble. Rename it, okay? Keeping the same product name confuses users. Maintain the copyright of the original author. Pretty straightforward. Do not use trademarked images, logos, etc. That's a no-brainer. And create your own set of documentation and support system to take care of the stuff that you're going to be doing in the new fork. Pretty simple, straightforward stuff. If you're going to head that route. Again, I'm kind of in the same notion.
Yeah.
It's kind of a dick move, really.
Yes, plus one on that. I mean, it's, you know, people do it. It happens all the time. We understand it, and we understand the license and the freedoms that come with it. So we know that that's, you know, this is what's
going to happen.
It's a blessing and a curse, things like this, but it does happen.
It does happen. What's old is new again. So some exciting news out of WP e-commerce space. It's one of the older plugins that has sustained the test of time.
It feels like the oldest plugin ever.
Yeah, ever. And it's got like over 3 million downloads, WP e-commerce. It's been around forever. Dan Millward was the guy that brought it to life years ago. It's been used by hundreds of thousands of websites. You know, he had it under the branch of another company, and Instinct Entertainment, which they had other products. This was certainly one of their bigger, you know, flagships, but other products there. And it's slowly dwindled down in terms of, I think, media coverage and usage. Maybe it wasn't getting the same level love that some of the newer plugins like e-commerce and stuff have gotten, but. You know, Justin Santone, who's been a part of that project for quite a while, and he's written some ridiculous amount of code for like 70,000 lines, and has removed like 30,000 lines or so of just code that doesn't need to be in there anymore, has now teamed up at, I think, a more official level with Dan, and they've taken a 50-50 split, a partnership on the project, on WP e-commerce, and they're going to hit this hard. They're coming out with a release, I think it's 3.9, or 3.9 something, and they're coming out with some really interesting features. Do we see some new reborn competition in the WordPress e-commerce plugin space? Because I think if there's anybody who's going to do it, it's these guys. Like, I think that they can totally come in here and crush it and do really well in that space.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you said, it's been around forever. I know when Brian and I first got into WordPress, this was the only plugin that I can think of at the time that did e-commerce. I think this was it. You know, so it has been around forever, it seems like. And it was easily the most complicated plugin at the time. I think one of the biggest issues they've had is you know, trying to having a plugin that old with that much history that's that complex. There's a lot of legacy code in there that's just not good, bad code, or you know, it's out of date, it needs update, it's not doing things the right way or the most updated way. So trying to clean it and keep innovating is a challenge, right? Because you're trying to keep building on top of it and add new features and make it awesome, but you're also trying to go back and kind of clean up the old existing code base. I know that's a big challenge they've had over the years, is to keep that clean. I'm excited to see this, though. I mean, I know both Dan and Justin very well. They're both very good people. I like you said, if anyone's going to do it, I feel like it will be these guys. They already have a name.
Definitely.
They already have a lot of users. So, I mean, they're set up to be able to make a big comeback.
I think so, and I'm excited to follow up with that too. There's a few new features that I'm really interested about. One of them is the new theme engine that they're building into that into the plugin in the 3.9. That's going to enable them to, I think, ease some pain there. Which I think over time it's been a challenge with any e-commerce type of integration, is how do you integrate that into your theming, you know, your themes and that whole system, the front end interaction piece. A new payment gateway API that'll allow some better integrations and at management of payment gateways. And lastly, I think one of the bigger feature sets that that I think we're going to see more of is a marketplace functionality, which allows or should open up third-party development. I think that in itself is something that is going to be helpful at any level with all these different e-commerce products. We've seen it with WooCommerce in a certain way, and that seems to be very successful.
I think you kind of need third-party support to really help it grow, because there's only so much a team of people can do, right? But if you get outsiders to help you build out, you know, additional features and get a partnership with them that works well, where they, you know, both sides make money and profit and can support it, I mean, it's a win-win. It's a, you know, WooCommerce has a really great business model. It's very similar to one we're doing with AppPressure, kind of give out the base, you know, for free, the core product, and then have extensions that add in kind of these more premium features.
It's external evangelism too, right? So I put a lot of value to that, because it's not just, all right, look, I'm a developer third-party guy in the marketplace for this product, right? WP e-commerce or what have you, and I've made these three extensions that, holy cow, be like the best thing since sliced bread. But anybody that I'm going to interact with are going to go, wow, this guy that I'm working with supports it. So that's a big deal. Yeah. So I think that there's a lot of secondary value there that sometimes maybe we don't consider.
Yeah, and honestly, like, you know, when WooCommerce started doing the extensions, it was a bit of a gold rush. Like, who can get the really popular ones first to market first? Because once you have it and it's a solid product, there's going to be a nice line lifetime of you know, money coming in, assuming you keep it up to date and work.
Like, whoever gets all the payment gateways are the big thing.
Features. So, like, if you're getting like the Authorize.net extension, you know, there's things that people really use, the PayPal integration or whatever it is, that, you know, integrating shipping with UPS and FedEx. And if those are things that third parties are allowed to build and sell through their marketplace, there's some very good opportunities to make some good money there.
Yeah, we've seen this beyond the commerce space, though, right? Like, I mean, this works in various capacities. I mean, you talk about different types of plugins and services out there that can use that type of third-party interaction or extension.
Look at Gravity.
I think it works. I think that's a growing model we're going to see more of.
Yeah, what do you think, Brian? Is the WP e-commerce poised to make a comeback here shortly?
Yeah, I mean, that would be really cool. I know Dan's been working a lot on, like mobile games and stuff, which is kind of cool. I've been meaning to talk to him more about that stuff for AppPressure.
I think that was part of the article. They kind of mentioned that, because the main company is called Instinct,
Instinct
Entertainment, and they do things like that. They're doing like an HTML games or HTML5 games. They're doing, you know, WP e-commerce. They got some other things. So it feels like this is kind of, it was kind of always this thing on the side that did okay, and maybe they lost focus. I feel like now they're trying to refocus and make it something where they're really committing to it, which is cool.
I think they're gonna crush it. That's exciting to see. It is. For me, historically, it's a name, it's a brand that's been around since I can remember, the early days of WordPress, so that's always exciting to see successes there. Successes for them mean successes for the entire project and community. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad to see them refocus, and hopefully they come in and kick some major ass. I'm digging it. Man, so these shows go way too fast, I'm telling you. So We've got a couple of the topics I want to talk about. One here, this is pretty quick, but WordPress.com, so subdomains, they're looking to have all of their subdomains. And we're talking a ton of subdomains.
A lot, right? They have like roughly 30-plus million sites. And they're not all on subdomains, but...
Sure, so yes, just some of those domain math and the whole nine, but that's a lot of subdomains. They're looking to have them all encrypted with SSL by the end of 2014. Now,
actually, I take that back. They are all on subdomains, at least on the admin side. So really, all 30-plus million sites are going to have to have, or going to have SSL encryption.
And that's, man,
I know that makes you happy.
Oh, no, that's freaking amazing. I think that's great. I think it's the right approach. 6 months, though, I mean, again, talking about if it's the right, they do have the team to do that, that's pretty lofty goal.
How exactly is that going to work over there? How are they going to get that done?
Yeah, we were talking about it a little bit because the idea of, like, to the average person like us that's maybe doing smaller, builds that networks of a few hundred sites, like a wildcard DNS.
You can get away with something like 30 million?
30 million on a wildcard, like you're saying, Dre, is not, I don't think it's...
I don't think that's ideal.
That doesn't sound ideal. I'm not that technical on that side, but that doesn't sound good at all. They must be doing something because, yeah, wildcard look up every time somebody hits a domain on a certificate. 30-plus million, probably 40 million by now, who knows? I'm not really sure.
Well, maybe we need to talk to someone at WordPress.com because I think that's exciting that they're heading that route.
Yeah, it would be interesting to know how they do that. And hopefully when they do, they kind of, a lot of times they'll do kind of a breakdown of what they, the setup and stuff. So maybe they'll share some of that knowledge.
I love it. Well, coming back to the table, I think a lot of companies are doing this now. We've seen this in the hosting space. They're setting up where I'm now hiring resources around WordPress specifically. I know that Media Temple has their WordPress evangelist. I know that certain companies like 10Up and other places are dedicating a certain amount of hours and even full-time resources to working on the project in general, whether that's becoming a core contributor or what other areas that they're volunteering their time specifically to help the WordPress project. The latest to kind of head that direction is WP Engine, who has just put out two requisitions. They're going to sponsor two full-time WordPress core contributors in moving forward, so they've got open spots. I think that's exciting because, again, we're giving back to the community that's helped make this a possibility, help a company like WP Engine exist, help the WDS as a world gain like exposure to some really insane, beautiful projects. That's pretty cool. Do we see this continue? Do we see this maybe taper off at some point? Is it more of a trend?
I hope it's a trend for sure, but I mean I hope it's a trend to stay because I mean this is like you said, we're seeing this across a lot of the hosts, a lot of the major hosting players are seeing this. Primarily at this point though, it's been the hosts that aren't just WordPress. They do it's just a host. You can host whatever you want there. Like your Bluehost and your Dreamhost, and you can host all sorts of stuff outside of WordPress. It's interesting to see WP Engine because now they're doing this, and they only host WordPress sites. So, and not only one person, but they're looking for two core contributors. So I think it's a smart move on their side. I think it's an awesome move and awesome way to contribute back to the community and to the project. Two full-time people working on WordPress is a major impact, right? That's going to bring a major impact. That's a lot of things that can get done, even if it's not all code-based. There's still a lot of impact that can have there. So I think it's great. I mean, I love the idea. I love what companies like 10Up are doing. It's something at Web Dev Studios we're certainly experimenting with how we can get our team more involved or how we can make it more, get more contributions back and make it more part of our routine. Because a lot of our team members do have different ways they contribute back, side projects, plugins, core, BuddyPress, WordPress, whatever. So we're trying to,
organizing
work camps. Like it's tricky. Like it's tricky to find that balance of trying to get your client work done and also wanting to give back. And we all do. So it's hats off to the companies that are actually doing it and having employees doing it full time. Cause I know it's not an easy feat, to do.
Yeah, for sure. I think we'll be there someday, but we're not kind of there yet.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is interesting is the actual title that they gave you is WordPress Core Contributor. Like that is your job. That is what you will be. Like, holy cow, that's kind of cool. One of the interesting things this whole discussion that I saw, I think on either Twitter or Facebook here, was discussion around, well, they're asking the folks to be in Austin or San Francisco. Mm-hmm. There is remote in here now, but I think that through some of the comments, even some representatives that WP Engine talked about, they'd prefer to be in Austin and or San Francisco, and there was some relocation stuff. Do you think that limiting that to not having remote applicants apply, which I think that they've said that that's okay now, would that limit it in terms of the talent and the people that would excel in this type of position, helping the project under a company like this is payroll?
What do you think, Brian?
You guys were cutting out. You sound like robots.
Mr. Roboto.
I mean, he's basically asking if forcing them to, or not forcing, but looking for someone locally, you know, either in Austin or San Fran, limits who they're going to end up getting, you know, who the market is that could actually have this position.
Oh, that they must live close to San Francisco?
Yeah, or Austin.
Yeah, I mean, why should that matter, I guess, with this day and age? I mean, our company, we're 100% distributed company. And I mean, a lot of the people that are committing to Core WordPress aren't in San Francisco.
Yeah, so I think.
What do they do with it?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. It's like if they're obviously if you're only looking local, and to be fair, Austin and San Fran are two very big tech hubs. Obviously, there's a lot of tech people in those two cities, so there's still a pretty good base of users, potential people to hire. But it is going to limit their market because you're only looking around two cities. So that's just a fact. Like, you know that. But I also saw Tomas, who posted the job at WP Engine. He did mention that they're really trying to look local, but if the right person comes and applies and they're not, and it's a good fit, that they would look at that. So it doesn't sound like it absolutely 100% has to be. They want someone that's going to be a great fit. Right? So I think if that person is, and they can come to terms on how they're going to work together and stuff, it sounds like that's a possibility. But, you know, if you're in San Fran or Austin, you definitely have a leg up on it, and I think it'd be a pretty amazing opportunity.
Hell yeah.
That's an awesome job.
I know what I'm going to do today. I'm going to go work on WordPress. Like, that's pretty kick ass.
Maybe I'll apply.
Maybe you should.
Should do that. See you, Brian. I'm going WP.
You got the man on the streets here. Everything else is pretty much covered. Man, it's been exciting stuff. I think that covers this week's pressing topics, Brad. Maybe we move on to this week's bar tricks.
Let me show you a bar trick.
Brad. That will forever be my favorite bumper, man. It's so awesome.
Oh, man. Brian, you got a bar trick over there. It's got a little dark. I hope you don't have like raccoons surrounding your car or something right now.
I do have a bar trick. So right now I'm opening up WP Armchair app on my phone. So if anybody that's listening, if you go to the iTunes store or the or Google Play or WP space Armchair, you could download our basically this BuddyPress Run app that you can kind of keep track. If any of you are familiar with the WP Armchair websites, it kind of just aggregates hashtags. Like, we just had WordCamp Philly happen, right? And everybody hashtagging WC Philly on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook or Flickr is all going to get aggregated into this site. So we kind of wrapped BuddyPress around it, appified it with AppPressor, and now we have a full mobile app around WP Armchair, and it's really cool. If you want to take a look at it, go download it. You could see how it integrates, pretty awesomely with BuddyPress. So if you're looking at, or thinking about building your own type of social network application to run on mobile devices, definitely check out WP Armchair and know that it's powered by AppPressor, of course.
Booyah.
It is a cool app, and David Bissett, who put together WP Armchair, he's got it. It's a really neat service. It's really cool if you're not at a WordCamp. It's it's much easier than just sitting on Twitter and searching the tag, because it actually does that for you, plus other services like Instagram. So you get a lot more kind of media as well, like a lot more images and stuff, which is neat.
It's a better aggregation.
It has the BuddyPress element too, so it's a social network of WordPress people. So you can connect, add friends, communicate with each other all through this
I would
app.
Really like to see it grow. I mean, I know Armchair's been around for a little while now. The app's fairly new. But, I mean, in the next year or so, it'd be neat to really see this thing grow from every WordCamp using it and getting more members and more people on the app and making those connections at WordCamps easier.
I think it will continue to grow. Exciting to see that they had the application set up there, and should go download it today.
What do you got, Dre Day?
You want me to roll? I will roll. I am going to rock out the stream, baby. I've been really kind of just stuck on analytics. I've been stuck on logs, auditing.
I can tell.
It's been awesome.
We've talked about it a lot last few days.
Dude, it's amazing. I really like it. Stream is about to change the way you monitor WordPress. Stream is like an audit trail for everything that happens in your WP admin, and they're extending beyond that, really giving you the capability now to extend into things like Woo Commerce, which is going to be interesting because now you get better. And I think they have a lot of opportunities here to expand this into better ways for folks using WordPress for business to make data-driven decisions around their business. But you go check them out at wp-stream.com. It's a really neat way to analyze all the things that are happening with all your settings, your posts, who's doing what, logging in and changing stuff within your WP admin. And I think they're really on to something here. Go check them out if you get a chance. I think that these guys are on to something big here.
That's very cool. So mine's my bar tricks is a plugin. It's kind of a silly plugin, but I think it's pretty cool. So it's called Cubify WP. And this plugin actually stemmed from the web WS camp that we had, where we get together once a year for an annual retreat. Being distributed, it's important to get together and kind of, you know, build relationships and get to know each other, more so than just distributed. So it's fun, and a couple of our guys got together. Camden and Seagal, this kind of stemmed from, we did presentations. So everyone kind of did a presentation, you know, around technology was something they were passionate about. And his was around using 3.js, which is a JavaScript 3D library, which makes WebGPL simpler. So it's basically using WebGPL. And it's really neat. So you're basically doing 3D modeling type stuff using JavaScript.
That's right.
So he built this plugin. And what it allows you to do is takes images on your page, in your posts and your pages, wherever you want, and you can actually cubify them. So they will turn into a cube, and they can spin on the page. You can set the speed and the percentage and all sorts of cool things. So there's speed, there's a percentage is the width of the cube in relation to content. But it's really neat when you see it in action, you see it spinning. There's some screenshots on there. Awesome. And if you are really interested in this stuff, which, I mean, seeing his presentation, you know, kind of blew my mind, some of the things, mm-hmm. with just a little bit of JavaScript. Check out 3js.org, which is the repository or the site for the project. And they have a ton of these featured projects you can go in here and watch. And some of the stuff, it's mind-blowing. Yeah. It's like it's all WebGL, all stuff built with JavaScript using this 3.js. So it's kind of neat. If you're into that, then you can kind of open up the plugin and see how he's doing it. It's honestly not that much code, so it's pretty wild. Check it out. Cubify WP. It's on WordPress.org.
Go Cubify now. Man. Upcoming WordCamps. We didn't recap how I wanted to on Philly, but...
Oh, yeah, there was a WordCamp last week.
What I heard, it was fabulous. I didn't end up making it out, but everybody that I've spoken to has spoken but great words about
it. It was a great time. You can see a sticker there if you're on the webcast. We got one of the stickers from the event.
Yes.
It was amazing to have WordCamp Philly back. We did not have one last year. Basically, our last one was in the fall of 2012. We decided we wanted to move to the spring, so it was either have one in 6 months or have one in 18 months.
Sure.
6 months wasn't going to work. It was just too soon. So we went the long route. We had to wait 18 months, but we're back. We had a great WordCamp. I saw multiple times where, presenters or I think even Helen actually did the keynote from 10 Up, asked the audience who was their first time at a WordCamp, and I swear it had to be about half. And we're going to find out when we're sending out a survey, but it was like, it had to be like half the audience first WordCamp ever, which to me is exciting.
Yeah, no, that's great.
People go to their first WordCamp. That's cool. Like, yeah. We go to WordCamps all the time. We take them for granted a little bit. When someone's there for the first time, it blows their mind the type of stuff they learned and the people they're interacting with. So, I mean, it was amazing. We had Helen from 10 Up to the keynote. She did an amazing job. The venue was awesome. A lot of awesome people there. We had amazing organizers and volunteers and speakers and sponsors, and can't thank everybody enough. It's a lot of work, but I mean, when you pull it off and you execute it, you know the feeling. It's a damn good feeling. So, WordCamp Philly was awesome. We'll be back next year for sure.
Kudos to you. I wouldn't expect anything less. Orange County happened last weekend as well. There's some upcoming events. In fact, this weekend is Chicago. So if you're in that neck of the woods and you didn't get tickets, that sucks because they sold out again. That's how they roll. This weekend also coming up in Hamburg and Calgary happened in the same weekend. And beyond that, a couple weeks, you got Seattle, Manchester. The week after that, you've got NYC, from what I'm hearing. Rumors on the street is that they've started trickling out some of the speaker notes.
Brian and I will are you going to – you're going to WordCamp New York, aren't you, Brian?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yep. So Brian and I will both be there. Trey, I think you're tentative.
Tentative, but that looks to be one on the schedule for me. So
it will be a good one for sure.
I will be rolling. If we can get Dragcast in the house, that
– If you can't make it, follow along.
I'll finish the show in. What's that?
I said, if you can't make it, follow along on the armchair app.
We'll be rocking an armchair for sure.
Did you say armpit? I think you said armpit.
He said something about armpit. It's getting dark, so it's getting a little scary. Brian, it's been a pleasure to having you on, buddy. Where can people find you online, bro?
At BMess on Twitter, and if you want to email me directly, it's brian@webdevstudios.com.
Booyah. Thanks for coming on board, man. It's a great show.
I can go get out of the library parking lot before you... We had a bet going if a cop was going to show up and ask him what he's doing in the middle of the show.
Didn't happen, so we made it through. Where can we find you, big dog?
You can find me on Twitter, WilliamsBA.
And I'm at Dre Maida. Brian, BMess, the Joker, the mulleted wild card.
Yeah.
Brian is today's man on the streets. First, Brian, let me thank you for your service. God bless you, and I'm honored to know you and to be around you, brother. Overall sentiment. It's time to start thinking about how to expand more fluidly into the medium being used across the world. Those great little handheld devices. Build it once and use it anywhere. Taking WordPress and mobile to a whole new level and an experience. AppPressor, if you haven't checked it out, seems to have the answers we are all looking for. And BMess is an innovator that is helping drive creative ways to use WordPress on mobile. And for application frame use, of course. He's driven that vision, even in the most literal sense. He is, after all, the first Radcast cast broadcasting from a car. For the Rad and Drad, I'm the Doctor. Thanks for joining us on episode 048 with BMess. We're out.
Thanks, guys.
Booyah! There you have it, folks, the latest edition of the Dradcast. If you dig the show, make sure you pass it on. If you have content for the show, want to submit to be a guest host, or just want to listen to older episodes, visit the Dradcast website at Dradcast.com. Make sure you click the iTunes subscribe link to catch us on iTunes.
Don't forget to follow at Dradcast on Twitter, and we thank you for tuning in.
Join Dre and Brad plus a new guest host next week.
Yes!
On another episode of the Dradcast. Yeah.